Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, May 5th, 2016. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So, as usual, we'll start out with the agenda, which is we just decided to get started.
Nothing. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
No, I figure, Yvonne, we'll like, you know, we'll try to arrange it into themes again, you know, but I don't know, you know, this stuff going on, we've got the healthcare stuff, we've got the budget stuff, we've got Hillary Clinton talking again and Comey talking again, and we can relitigate the whole election once again.
I'd rather not. Can I be honest? I thought that whole thing was just, what a waste of time. I mean, I'm like, whatever, people. It's done. It's over. You know, give me a fucking break.
Oh, and we've got an election in France. We had part one and part two is coming up momentarily. We've got an election in the UK coming up. We've got some tech stuff, you know, but this UnrollMe got in trouble, and there was a big Google phishing attack, and I don't know. So, you know, I'll do my one thing to start with. I did finish another book. This one was with my son. This is, you guys remember, we read The Hobbit, so we continued. And we just finished reading The Fellowship of the Rings, which is the next book in, you know, the Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings. The Fellowship of the Ring is the first book in The Lord of the Rings. And so we just finished reading that. And by us reading it, I mean me reading it to him primarily. You know, it was fun. I think he liked The Hobbit more. Like, the Hobbit was more aimed at his exact age range. He was paying attention to the Fellowship of the Ring too, asking all kinds of questions as we went along. So all that was good. It's fun, you know, reading to the kid. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a lengthy book. I mean, my son likes to read, but obviously a lot shorter books like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are the first two actual, like, big, meaty novel-type things that we've read together. And he's not about to, like... He could actually do a fairly decent job reading it, I'm sure. But he's not about to. Like, he doesn't want to read something that's that long and no pictures and blah, blah, blah. But he's fine with me reading it to him, you know. And you know, I'll occasionally, like, stop and make him read a sentence or two, and he can read a sentence or two out of it. It's just the confidence to, like, you know, string those together and read pages upon pages and pages and pages of it, you know, is different than reading one sentence at a time, you know. So, but it's fun. You know, so for school, he has, like, the only homework this grade is 400 minutes a month of home reading. And so theoretically you're supposed to do, you know, 10 or 15 minutes a night, whatever it adds up, maybe, you know, but reality for us, we're not that good. What our pattern has tended to be is to read very little in the first half of the month and then scramble the second half of the month. And then the last few days of the month be reading like several hours a day in order to catch up.
No, interesting.
You know, but it works, you know.
I know.
It's not, maybe not, sort of like coming to the end of the month and like, okay, now, in order to meet your goal, we have to read 35 minutes a day. And then we miss a day and, okay, we have to read 45 minutes, you know. And then we get to the last day. Okay, we got to read 2 hours today.
There you go. So, that always works. Yeah.
You know, so, but it.
You're like the guy, I used to have this discussion with, I had these idiots, okay, that I used to work with who all of a sudden would see that, I don't know, so say we got to the, this was happened in a bad year. We were well short of our sales goal. It was right after the 2008 crisis.
Right.
And so their catch-up plan just involved all of a sudden taking everything that we had missed the last 9 months and sent me, oh, yeah, well, here's your catch-up plan. my catch-up plan, you motherfuckers. Wait a minute. Oh, so you're basically, my catch-up plan is that in the fourth quarter of the year, I got to sell everything we didn't sell, plus the usual quota. That's the catch-up plan? That's, I mean, you know, I said that if I were
doing... Well, that is how you catch up.
Or actually, no, it was a stretch goal. Okay, that's what they called it. Yes. I said that, you know what, I said to them, I'm like, look, if we were driving across country and we were running behind by 3 days, you know, on the trip, you would make a calculation that would figure out that all we need to do is drive 200 miles an hour for the next couple of days. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, just drive 200 miles an hour. We'll get there. No problem. You know, yes. we'll make up the time. I'm like, really? You know,
I've done those calculations at times just in terms of like we're running late to get my son to school in the morning or whatever. And
right.
It's like half a mile away. And we're like, OK, we can get there on time if we go 200 miles an hour.
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true. That would be correct. Yes. If you could go 200 miles an hour, then yes, you would get there on time. Yes, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess that's all I have for this starting segment before we dive into real stuff. Do you have anything else to add before we... Okay, so, I figure we do like healthcare first after the break or something like that.
Yeah. So I today, and I don't know if this will be a good thing.
Okay.
Changed my wireless plan.
All okay, right? Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, but look, these wireless plans, I don't know what carrier you have. I have AT&T.
We have
AT&T. Yeah, so very complicated, okay?
They make it as complicated as they can.
I mean, I will say that, look, they redesigned their website. They're trying to make it simpler to understand. And they have simplified it, okay, but it's still complicated, okay? So a lot of moving parts, variables... Discounts here, no discounts there. So I took a chance, okay, and I decided to move. I had years ago gotten out of those grandfathered unlimited data plans.
See, I'm still in my grandfathered unlimited data plan.
Yeah, but here's the reason why I got out of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. The main reason I got out of that is because for one, is like if you want to use your phone as a hotspot, you can.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, there were restrictions like that. There were a pain in the ass. They had a whole bunch of them like that. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want these restrictions. Okay? You know, the hell with it. I'm gonna change it. And actually, it was cheaper. Not only that, but even with the way that it was priced before, if you went to the shared data plan, okay, and especially if you had multiple devices, it wound up being cheaper because... you got a few iPads. I got my car. My car has data included in there. Once you rolled all that up, it's like, you know, you get enough gigs. You're like, you know what? You're fine. Okay. All right. Sometimes you got overages that those could be a problem, but you know, it whatever, it worked out. So AT&T has rolled out new unlimited data plans again.
Okay. Yeah. So you're looking at, it doesn't make sense to go unlimited again.
And one of the things that they rolled out with it is that was interesting, okay, is that, well, they purchased DirecTV, which I have DirecTV. So here's the kickers that they added. If you have DirecTV and so forth, and you take their ultimate unlimited plan.
Yes.
A, they'll throw in HBO.
Okay.
No extra charge. Okay. So you can stream it. Even if you don't have TV, their TV contract, they'll include it so you can stream it unlimited on your phone. Okay, number one.
Yeah.
If you have DirecTV, they will give you a $25 credit on your account. Okay, every month. Okay, they'll just knock off $25, whatever the hell you're paying. Okay.
Okay.
They'll also knock off $10 off your month if you off your bill if you use auto pay. Which they didn't have that offer before. They also included what the hell is this? Unlimited calling. Okay, so it's unlimited data on all the lines. Okay, all right, up to 22 gigs. After 22 gigs, they'll slow it down to the old 4G. okay, is what it means. From LTE down to the old 4G before this, okay? What other thing did they... they had unlimited calling, because last year I got a couple of times. I wound up going to Mexico and Canada. Going to Canada cost me a fortune.
Okay, because you didn't turn off your data or whatever, yeah.
Well, I bought a passport plan that they sold, but no, well, what happened, well, I thought Canada was included. I mean, I had the data on before I got the baggage claim. I got a notice already. This is from the plane to baggage claim. I haven't picked up my bag. That I already spent over $100 in data.
Because as soon as you got off the plane, it started syncing your mail or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It just, I mean, literally, I got a notice that a text that said, dude, you're traveling internationally.
Hey, at least it told you.
Yes. And you've already run up a crazy bill. Call us and we could do something about this. Okay. So I called them up and they got me on some thing that they added, some international passport thing. But it was expensive, okay? I mean, it in the end, it cost me a couple of hundred. I mean, in the end, I wound up going twice to Canada last year, and it cost me, like, probably $300 to $400 in roaming charges, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm. So
not exactly, like, cheap. And then we went to Colombia this doesn't address that. But so they included Canada, okay? All right? In there. You have your data plan, no charge, okay? Over there. Unlimited data... I mean, the thing is that in the end, with the discounts and everything, it was actually a wash. Maybe $10 more a month. But the fact that there's no more overages, I was like, and I've had it happen, and I was just like, you know what? The hell with it. All right, I put it on. So if any of you are on those plans, you may want to check out what they've done with the... With the plans, it may be advantageous to you to go and like
to reassess your plans.
Yes.
Well I think as a fundamental, like, I mean, honestly, they're constantly changing these things, so it's probably worth people's while to, like, once every year or two see what's available and reassess. Now I'll be honest, like, I'm not going to do that. I haven't done that, like. You know, I'm a creature of inertia.
No. But
I paid for AOL for 10 years after the last time I used a dial-up.
That's my,
you know,
point.
So
listen, you're being an idiot, because, like, right now you could keep your damn unlimited, okay, and perhaps add, like, free HBO.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You don't want free HBO? Free.
Yeah.
Free. Free.
Yeah, so.
It's free.
I don't watch it.
Are you gonna tell me that Amy doesn't like Game of Thrones or
We bought that.
Yeah, but my point is that then you don't have to buy it.
Well, yeah, you do, because you still have to, like, either you set it up. It's annoying.
It's Apple TV. You just go and you fucking select the program.
I know, but
buy it. It's
whatever.
Free.
Whatever.
No! All you gotta do, this is free. You go to tell them, you change it, and all of a sudden now, those programs that you paid for are now free.
But you have to buy the other crap.
What other crap?
Your phone service.
You're already buying that.
Yeah, but right now I can buy it without getting that stuff.
You're getting the same shit you're getting right now, except you have more stuff for free.
I'm probably paying more, and that's a benefit.
No!
Right? It's a privilege to pay more.
God. Could you just go in there? Just, you know, look, it didn't take that long.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it took me a total of 30 minutes on that.
We'll change plans when there's a compelling reason that we have to. Or, you know, if we do find out, like, through happenstance, and it's like, oh, we can get the same unlimited with less restrictions for less money. All you have to do is switch over. maybe we'll do it, but like, you know, it's still like, I don't know. Why change it if it's working?
Here's the other thing. If you have HBO, the streaming of HBO, if you get it through here, doesn't go against your data plan. Okay, at all.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
What? Well, that's whatever.
That's your provider giving preferential treatment of some content over another. That's the whole like antithesis of net neutrality.
I know, but what do you want me to do? It's not my rules.
I want you to pay for it. Damn it!
I am paying for it.
I want you to pay for that data by the bit. God. I want you to count the bits by hand. And pay for them.
We're going to hire a whole bunch of more like employees in some low-cost country to count bits by hand.
Damn it.
Or it could be an employment plan. That's part of the new Trump employment plan. We're going to be counting bits by hand together with producing more coal. Okay, there you go. That's it. That's a great, great employment plan. So anyway, well, those of you that don't want to be stupid, go check it out. It could be, here it is. I had the other things that I got. Unlimited data, check, which I didn't have. No overage charges, check. HD video streaming, which apparently now the quality of the video will not be restricted. Mobile hotspot, which you don't have right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you could hotspot your phone. I mean, that's a big plus. I'm sorry.
I used to use that occasionally off my iPad, which had a different kind of plan on it, where I had that feature. But, you know, I haven't used it in years and haven't missed it, so.
That's because I forget that you don't go anywhere. Okay, that's true. Anyway. All right, so I don't know. Well, those of you that do go out there in more different places... go and like, you know, if you have a different carrier, I urge you, since all they've all been changing your stuff, to go and like check your stuff out. Maybe you get something that's better.
Maybe. Okay, maybe. Let's take a break. And you think healthcare first, Yvonne?
Yes, let's go into the.
Okay, we will be back right after this with a little bit on healthcare.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, so Yvonne, they did it.
Yes.
They did it. They succeeded. The House actually passed something.
Yes, they did.
I'll tell you, I'm actually somewhat impressed. Because, to be honest, I didn't think they could get it together enough to do this. Now, it's still... The Senate is yet to come, and that's a whole other story. But, you know, I didn't think they would even get something through the House. I thought they had sort of irreconcilable differences within the Republican caucus, and they weren't going to be able to pull it off, but they managed it.
I thought, look, let's be clear. It was about as razor thin as you can get.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know that... they said they had the votes, but even I think that they were nervous up to the last minute.
The ones I was watching, it seemed like they stopped being nervous about 24 hours before the vote.
Well, they said actually today that like even Paul Ryan was very fidgety, he seemed more nervous than he'd ever been doing one of these things. I mean, and look at the margin. I mean, come on. They really had no margin for error. If one or two guys just decided, boom, oh, screw this, they're done.
True, but they probably also actually had a few more moderates that would have come on if they needed it. Like, I saw some analysis, like, 12 to 24 hours before the vote that said, look, at this point, it's almost assured they are going to win by one vote, because they are not going to make any more moderates vote for this than they have to.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You hear the comments from them. It was a terrible bill. But we just voted for it because we needed to show that we can vote for something.
Well, yeah.
Those were comments I heard.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's some of the dynamics.
It's a terrible bill, but we still voted for it.
But we have to do something.
We have to do something.
Yes. There was a lot of logic that said.
Today, but I decided to hit my foot with a hammer because I had to do something.
Well, you know, there was a lot of logic going around today with people saying exactly that look, our constituents sent us here. If we're unable to do anything, we'll be crucified for it. So we have to show that we can do something.
Something, right.
And then there was also the...
But you realize that is just a joke, right?
But there's more than that, because then there are two other rationales. Like, some of the worst stuff that people are complaining about this bill is the changes to how it deals with pre-existing conditions. But what those are is they're not actually directly removing the requirements. They're giving the states the ability to remove the requirements if the states want to. And so a number of these guys are basically gambling that their states won't. You know, so that the requirements for pre-existing conditions would be maintained in their states, and so they wouldn't have to worry about it. They're also very much gambling on the fact that this isn't going to go anywhere in the Senate anyway, or it's going to come back in a very, very different form. So they're still playing the same game they were during the Obama administration, which is they feel like they can vote for it because they're still not thinking that the actual negative consequences of it are actually going to hit them. But the other thing is, they're also counting on the fact that even if it does go through, and even if there are negative consequences, they can spin it as, we got rid of the hated Obamacare, and, you know, any negative consequences are still because of Obamacare. You know, there are ways that this can be spun, and they're kind of counting on
that. That stuff is retarded. Look, let me put it to you this way. It's like somebody said, listen, you've got it, you own it. If people get negative consequences, they're not going to blame Obama. They're not going to blame Obama. They're going to blame them. Because they're the ones that passed something, and they're going to say, whoa, happened?
And I heard a bunch of Republican Congress people in the sort of interview circuit afterwards, basically trying to make the case that all of the doom and gloom about how this would have a negative impact is bullshit, and this would actually make things better.
I there is nothing in this stupid bill that makes anything better other than making rich people richer. That's it.
Well, and if you're a young, healthy person, you might be better off. You might pay less, or you might skip out on your insurance entirely.
If you're a young, healthy person, that's kind of like the guy who's driving around without car insurance that never gets into an accident. Well, if you don't get into an accident and you're driving around without insurance, then yes, you'll be better off. Right. Yes. If you never get into an accident. Right.
So
I don't know. But that's retarded horse shit.
So do we have to give credit that they actually managed to get something through, though?
No, I'm not giving them credit for shit, because it looks like the main reason they voted it is the same reason that you said they voted for a repeal during the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. They voted for it only because they thought it wasn't going anywhere. Okay. And this is the same horse shit they've been pulling on us for the last number of years. It's ridiculous. I mean, what? I'm just you know, I am just flabbergasted that these guys are such lazy fucks.
Well, here's the decided
to ram this thing through just because, hey, we need to show that we can vote something. And you know what? It doesn't matter because we know it's not going anywhere.
But, you know, 2 weeks ago, no one thought they were actually going to manage it.
They didn't manage anything again.
Yes, I know.
That's the point.
One of the frustrating things in terms of listening to some of the coverage today is how many people are looking at it and, ooh, big victory, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've even heard people confused that think that ACA was actually repealed today or something happened. It hasn't. There's a whole additional phase yet to go in the Senate that is going to be just as hard as the House was. And if you do what you need to do to get it through the Senate, you're undoing some of the things you needed to do to get it through the House. And so you have to reconcile again. So it does get to be a bit of a complicated mess here, and there's a long way yet to go. But, you know, Trump and the congressman were having like a beer party on the White House lawn, you know?
Right.
Which also just kind of looked a little stupid.
Oh my God, that was just so ridiculous. And then the president said, "Hey, I'm president." Said something like that.
And then he went to meet with the Australian Prime Minister and told him that they have a better healthcare system. And of course, it's a, you know, nationalized single payer universal healthcare system in Australia.
Yeah, I would love to have that right now. Can I be honest? I mean, all these guys are making me, you know, for a long time, I was not really for a single payer nationalized healthcare system. Every fucking time that I'm dealing with these bozos, it makes me want it even more.
Which bozos? Healthcare providers?
No. The healthcare or, providers. No, or Republicans. Congress. The Republicans. Let's count the losers in this, like right now in this bill. Okay, all right. I got this article from New York Times that counts of it. Poor people, number one, because they're gonna get, because Medicaid expansion gets rolled back. The way that they've put the formula in there is that Medicaid expansion, the money's gonna get cut off. No more people can be added. States can roll it back. You know, the hell with it. Okay, so fuck people on Medicaid. Okay, that's number one. Older Americans, okay? Because they will be able to charge them, actually, it's even more than five times what they charge other people for coverage, okay? Basically making it that people, before they reach before they get to Medicare, okay, and they get past 50, those guys that get sicker than everybody else won't be able to afford fucking healthcare, okay? Which is ridiculous, okay? Anybody with pre-existing health conditions, I know they're saying that, well, that's an opt-out and whatever, and then you got the risk pools. I mean, that whole thing is a joke, okay?
Well, I saw at one point somebody did
so underfunded.
I saw somebody do the calculation of how much money they were proposing to go into these high-risk pools divided by the number of people who would be in the high-risk pools based on the definition of pre-existing conditions and everything else, and it turned out to be $1 a month per person.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The estimate for their high risk pool to work, they put in $8 billion. Most people are estimating they needed over $100 billion to make this thing even be plausible to work. Okay.
And the other thing that got a lot of attention this week, and this comes back to the Republicans like just being seemingly really bad at optics, at what the new things that they were putting in as pre-existing conditions.
Oh my God. C-sections they put in.
C-sections, pregnancies of any sort for that matter. Being a victim of sexual assault. This is Sam from the future here. I just want to issue a little bit of a clarification at this point in the show. And I actually remember that we mentioned this somewhere else in the show, either before or after here, I don't know, but we did so in passing. So I want to make sure this is very explicit here, because it's come up in the time between we recorded the show and when we're putting it out. When we talk here about things like they have made this something that can be treated as a pre-existing condition that can be used to increase your costs. It's not quite that simple. The actual mechanism used is that the proposed law that's passed the House says that keeps the sort of notion that you can't do stuff on pre-existing condition, but allows the states the ability to ask for waivers of these restrictions. So that, in theory, what could happen is the state of Montana could come out and say, we want a waiver for our state that allows insurance companies in our state to charge more if users have the pre-existing condition of X, whatever that pre-existing condition might be. The state of Montana would have to actively do that. They would have to apply for a waiver, and that waiver would have to be approved. And the approval process theoretically has something in it that says that the organization that's handling this on a nationwide basis would have to see that the state of Montana had some other plan in place that would handle these cases, like the high-risk pools or something else. Now, so when they say something like, they've made pregnancy a pre-existing condition, no. What is actually happening is they are giving the states the leeway to loosen the restrictions on the insurance companies for handling those kinds of pre-existing conditions. But the law itself doesn't actually say that. This is where they've been able to say, yes, this law still covers pre-existing conditions. That's one of the things we promised all along. We liked that part of Obamacare. But at the same time, give people like the Freedom Caucus the ability to say that they've taken them away. Because what they've done is they've given the states the ability to take them away. But the states would still actually have to actively do that. And specifically in the case of sexual assault, it's been pointed out that all but something like four or five of the states actually have laws on the books prohibiting use of being a victim of sexual assault as a factor in these equations. So so only those four or five states could just outright even request this. The others would have to repeal other laws they'd already have on the books before they could even get there. So the reality is, if you're in a happy blue state that likes Obamacare as it is, your state probably isn't going to mess with this stuff. Now, if you're in a red state, they might, but they might not. And that's how, again, we're talking about these representatives are sort of gambling that the potential negative effects of this won't come into play. Because they don't think it'll really pass the Senate. But even if it did, in order for the worst things the Democrats are saying about this law to actually happen, state legislatures, or maybe governors, I don't know exactly the mechanism within the state government, but state governments would have to proactively also take actions to do these things. Because this is sort of a federalism kind of thing here. The concept that's being applied here is let the states modify this as they see fit. So they're not just on a nationwide basis saying this is how it shall be. They're leaving the pre-existing protections in place nationwide, but they're giving the states the ability to potentially opt out of some of those protections. But the states still actually have to do that. It's sort of a shortcut to be saying this law eliminates protections for this class of pre-existing conditions or whatnot. It doesn't quite, but it weakens them because it allows the states to override them. Does that make sense? And again, particularly in the case of sexual assault, which got a lot of attention and people were really pinging in on that one, a lot of states, almost all the states, have additional protections on the books against that already. So you'd have to imagine your state actually passing an explicit law to remove that protection. Or again, the governor doing it, whatever, I don't know. But there's, it's probably not actually going to, result in insurance companies doing this. Oh, and an additional step beyond that is that even if your state gets an exemption that allows the insurance companies to do this, the insurance company still has to choose to do it. They have to choose to use that as a factor. And of course, you can imagine the sort of reaction if insurance company X was the first one to come out and say, yes, we're going to use sexual assault as a pre-existing condition. So there are a whole bunch of steps between where we are now and the worst possible vision of this being true. And of course, the Democrats are painting that worst possible picture as how they point out this law. And the Republicans, especially the moderate Republicans, are trying to push towards the best possible picture where, yeah, we allow these exemptions, et cetera, but nobody's really going to take advantage of them. There you go. Back to the rest of this discussion. I just wanted to clarify that.
Right.
As a pre-existing condition. Being in the process of doing adoption was a pre-existing condition.
God.
Basically, almost anything you can imagine,
was a pre-existing condition.
And it, especially, and I saw so many women complaining that there were so many conditions that were tied to women's health, that were, like we mentioned, pregnancy, C-section, et cetera, that, it disproportionately fell on, a very large percentage of women would have pre-existing conditions just by the definition of what they were defining. And it's like, come on, really? I mean, look, the whole notion of pre-existing conditions and everything else is that, the insurance companies recognize the people that are higher risk and charge them more accordingly. And, you sort of look at the analogy of, car insurance or whatever. And if you've been in a bunch of accidents, you pay more for your car insurance, right? And so that's the theory there. But the reality is that, most of these things are completely beyond people's individual control. And the whole point of fucking insurance is to spread the risk across as wide a grouping as possible. If you start tailoring it to, okay, this person's higher risk, so they're going to be charged more. This one's lower risk, so they're going to be charged less. Once you start tailoring it, you dilute the benefit of the insurance in the first place.
Let me put it this way. They give you discounts like right now. If you don't drink alcohol, you don't smoke and those kinds of things, which I get it. Those are negative. Those would be equating to like being a bad driver, right, and getting to like 10 wrecks. Okay, all right. So you have a lot of tickets. You have that, whatever. But look, I mean, C-sections. What the fuck, man? My wife had to get a C-section. It was
Alex was born by C-section.
My son was going to die if they didn't do a C-section. It was very simple, okay? That wasn't the plan. We just had to do it that way. And, what? That's a pre-existing condition? I mean, for real? These guys are just, this thing is so fucked up. The list of pre-existing conditions is so, by the way, any kids with disabilities?
Yep.
Oh, or fucked. I mean, like, right now, based on that, both my wife, my son are fucked. They have pre-existing conditions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not a single person in my family who is not screwed.
By pre-existing condition rules. Yeah, this is just the worst fucking bill I've ever seen in my life for healthcare.
So now, in terms of the politics,
sexual assault, postpartum depression.
Yes.
Postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
Being a survivor of domestic violence. Okay. mean, who the hell?
And I presume there's some actuarial evidence somewhere that says if you've been a victim of domestic violence before, you're likely to be a victim again, especially if you stay with the person who's beating you up or whatever, and therefore you're a higher risk. But that should be irrelevant here. Like this, yeah. That's not like helpful in terms of providing services to that person who probably needs it even more than other people. I mean, that's sort of the fundamental disconnect with all of this is they're trying to make it, you know, by the whole fundamental thing is the people who are at higher risk should pay more. What you're actually saying by that is the people who need it the most are the ones who get fucked.
Right.
You know, so... Correct. You know, you've got diabetes, or you've got cancer,
right.
Or you've got other serious ongoing health conditions. Well, too fucking bad for you. That means you should pay out the ass and go bankrupt yourself in order to take care of your condition, because the young healthy guy shouldn't pay for it.
Let me put it this way, Heather. You know, your cousin,
my cousin,
right?
Yes.
Yep. She has a child with autism as well.
Yep.
So she put out. So having given birth 13 years ago to my beautiful son on the autism spectrum cost me $22,000 a year, according to this chart that they came out for the affordable bullshit motherfucker plan.
Now, again, like. If you do that, you might as well. I mean, I guess it's still some insurance is still better than none. But I mean, you're essentially going towards having no insurance and just saying you get sick, you fucking pay for it.
Here's another thing that they did. They went and they eliminated funding for special education. Okay.
Yes, that was also
funding. This was funding that was in Medicaid that was going to schools. Okay, to treat people. You know, that provided, because a lot of schools, because they were providing speech pathology service and other things that are considered medical, they were doing it in school in order to have people there that were in special education programs. They were cutting the funding for that shit, too. I mean, these fuckers have no shame. None. So I said that when the next protest is going, that the whole family, we're packing up, we're going to D.C.,
for the next big protest.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of us.
You know, I don't know. I mean.
No. And you better fucking pack your motherfucking bags, too.
No, I'm just trying to, like. I'm trying to internalize.
I gotta tell Rebecca we're going to camp at her place, but don't.
There you go. I'm trying to internalize the rationale that says this is good. And. I'm somewhat stymied by that because even the people voting for it, as we said earlier, aren't
said
really
it sucks.
Yeah, a lot of them are saying it sucks. They don't really like it, but this that. But I haven't heard a really compelling defense of this. That, you know, because again, you could do the philosophical thing that says, you know, yes, some people will get worse healthcare outcomes because of this bill, but. We're getting government out of it, and that's good in and of itself. I don't really hear people making that specific argument. I hear people trying to make arguments that this will actually do good, but doing a really half-ass, half-hearted attempt at it that doesn't seem to be backed up when you dig into it further. Like, it's just sort of like, we'll shuffle this around and say things will be better without. I mean, they didn't even have like the CBO score and all that kind of stuff with this. There's not that kind of detailed analysis that's official, as it were. And all of the analysis that has been coming from sort of, you know, reputable medical folks or experts in this area are like, yeah, no, this sucks.
This whole thing sucks.
And, you know, it's not going to save the money that people want, and it's not going to result in better healthcare outcomes either.
Well, no, it's going to save money to rich people. They're going to, I mean, really rich people, they're going to pay less taxes. And companies are gonna be paying less for insurance, which, like, right now, that's the way that we fund a lot of insurance is through corporations,
we had this conversation way back the first time the healthcare bill was going through. One of the fundamental disconnects here is when people say cost saving, whose costs are they talking about?
Right.
Because if you're looking at it as the total amount of money spent on healthcare is going to go down, you might get that, but that's not what people, what the general populace means.
I guess if you die, you cost less. Yes.
Yes.
We have more dead people than yes.
What the general populace thinks about when they talk about cost savings is pay less for the same services.
No,
not
that's
just
not,
get less services.
No, morons. No, you're going to pay less for less, a lot less. And actually, a whole bunch of people will pay more for less. I mean, this thing sucks ass. And only a couple of people that are, like, really rich and, like, that, you know, like they said, like you said, young people that, well, they don't want to pay for insurance. Yep, those guys will get off easy. Sure.
Until something happens to them.
Exactly. Yes.
Although even there, like we talked about before, or did they change that in this time around? I haven't really heard it as much this time. The penalty structure being such that, yeah, you just buy it later, pay a little bit of a penalty for not having coverage.
Here's
before.
The problem. The problem is that if you wind up at the ER and you don't have insurance, you're fucked. You can't buy the insurance that it's going to cover you retroactively.
Yes.
So you can have something all of a sudden happens immediately. You go to the hospital and maybe they run up, as I've seen people happen, 50, 60. Look, I just had a friend of mine wound up in the ER, a cyst burst. They found a hernia, was in the hospital for a week, surgery, the whole damn thing. That was unplanned. I mean, the bill, I'm sure, had to be $50,000, $60,000,
$70,000. Right.
You know, in the end, I'm going to get between $25,000 to $75,000. Well, you know what? If you go then and buy insurance, insurance is going to tell you, fuck you, we're not covering that.
Yeah. At best, we'll sell you insurance for things going forward in the future at a really inflated price. Because guess what?
Yes,
you have a pre-existing condition now.
You have a pre-existing condition, fucko. That's right. You're screwed.
Okay, so what I do want to move on, but what do we think's going to happen in the Senate here? Are they anything? Is the Senate just going to drop it like a hot potato and say, screw this, we're not even going to touch it? Or are they going to try to do something?
If the senators, which I heard a number of them have some brain sense, they're going to look at this steaming pile of shit that the House sent them. And I'm like, you want us to fix this? Listen, we're going to have to write something new completely. Because fixing that turd you sent will take longer than writing something else.
Well, but do you think they can come up with something that all the Republican senators can agree to? And even if they do, would it be something that the House could agree to if they sent it back?
You know, I had somebody tell me today, listen, if you had a fucking brain, instead of doing something this idiotic, would you sit down and try to figure out how to fix Obamacare? And if they want to take credit for that, then I would be okay with it. Okay?
Yeah.
Instead of passing this stupid bill.
Well, and apparently there was a little bit of an effort on the Democratic side that was squashed by leadership to actually present an alternative and say, okay, here's our bill to actually just fix Obamacare. But leadership decided that was not the right direction to go, and it was better for them to just sort of sit back and let the Republicans do what they're going to do.
I think that, you know what, I think look, I would have in my back pocket what I want to do, depending on where this thing is going. But I would let the Republicans right now try to own this and try to see if they can come up with something.
Right.
But I always would have in my back pocket, oh, so what's your plan? Oh, you want a plan? Oh, here. Oh, you mean something like this? Because
you'd think that's what the Republicans would have had in their back pocket for the last 8 years, right?
No, but they're idiots. Okay, they're never meant to do anything. They never had the intention.
They never thought they would get the chance. And let me tell you something. When our Congress actually sits down to actually seriously work on something and put together a bill, they do have the ability. I will tell you that, you know, on unrelated subjects, so Puerto Rico, I know somebody filed for bankruptcy this week officially.
Oh, yeah. We had a listener request for you to give your thoughts on that, too.
One thing about that I just wanted to mention in relation to this. The bill that was put together so Congress approved in order to have the bankruptcy was so well thought out and detailed. I'm still like, wow, Jesus, our Congress can actually pass something this well put together? And it's like stunning to me, this sheer show of incompetence that they're doing with this. Because they do have the people to be able to put something together and write it that makes sense.
Well,
but they are refusing to do it. I don't understand. I mean,
the fundamental dynamic is the only things they can do that on are the things that are not getting any public attention, that have not become sort of partisan punching bags. Because for both sides right now, honestly, if you actually are seen sitting down and working constructively with the other side, that is seen as a significant negative by your base.
Yeah, and I guess nobody gave a shit about Puerto Rico, so therefore when they were able to put something together and pass it, nobody gave a fuck about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, let me put it to you this way, down to this detail. In there, they had created a bankruptcy process for jurisdictions that previously were ineligible to file for bankruptcy. I mean, they went down to so far in detail, they actually created a form for specifically even for the bankruptcy filing, where it said what jurisdiction is filing for bankruptcy, what are the reasons, who signed off on it, are you sure you want to? I mean, I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, it's not like they just said, oh, they can file for bankruptcy, it has statutes. I mean, they even went to the detail of even creating the forms that were to be used for this. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this, you know, and, you know, you work in corporate America, I work in corporate America. Let me tell you something. We get people coming up with bullshit that they never go down to that level of detail. I mean, they'll put something together and like, yeah, implement that fucker, whatever. You're like, dude, where's the plans? That level of detail, I was like, fuck, this was our Congress?
Yeah, because on issues like that, they can be like, okay, let's just get something done. Let's put our staff on it. Let's put some good people who, you know, are actually experts in the field. They'll write something up and then we'll just sign off on it. But again, the key is it's an issue that has not become a partisan issue, and it's an issue that, for the most part, people don't give a shit about. I mean, no offense to the people on the island of Puerto Rico, but
I'm not offended, but we know, I know. Nobody gave a fuck.
Right.
Yeah. Hell, half the people don't even know we're part of the United States, for God's sakes. What the fuck are they gonna care about? You know? Shit. Anyway.
I'm surprised you haven't been deported yet, Yvonne.
I'm sure somebody would have loved to have tried already.
Okay, let's take a break and let's just lightning roundish anything else that's on our lists for the rest of the show. Because, you know, actually, I'll note this. You know, yes, we had the big healthcare thing. Yes, we had a couple other things happen. But honestly, for the first time in a long time, I'm actually feeling like things are slowing down a bit.
Well, you said the first time in a long time instead of using that stupid phrase that drives me crazy now.
What phrase?
Oh, first time in forever, which I wind up every yes. time I say.
Are you going to sing the song again like you did last week?
No! Fucking drives me crazy. I kind of like come to hate that damn movie, to be honest.
Do you want to build a snowman, Yvonne?
No! No fucking snowman.
Just let it go. We'll be back after this. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. you know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, a Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth $1 a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay, here we are. Let's just go through some of these things. I don't know if you've got any on your list, but...
Well, let's start off with the Puerto Rico bankruptcy.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yes, because we had that request. Go for it.
All right. So, look, Puerto Rico, up until like last year when this bill was passed, PROMESA, which is the Puerto Rico Oversight Management. Oh, God. Man, Oversight Management. Whatever the hell else it means. Anyway. Shit, I should know this, but anyway, I'm sorry, I forgot what the other letters are. Puerto Rico Oversight Management... something.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, so that bill created an oversight, financial oversight board for Puerto Rico, and it gave them certain powers, okay? Gave them a power to approve the budgets, gave them a power, the Puerto Rico fiscal plans, and also gave them the power to authorize for filing a bankruptcy, and actually enabled Puerto Rico to take advantage of protections under bankruptcy and to go through the bankruptcy process in federal court, which that did not exist before. And for some reason, in 1984.
Okay, 1984.
Or sometime in the 80s, let me not go quote the exact date. There was an amendment to the bankruptcy code that eliminated the ability for Puerto Rico to file for bankruptcy, or any territory for that matter. And you know what? Everybody's gone back and tried to figure out why that was the case, and nobody could come up with an explanation as to why that was done in that change back then. Nobody knows. Okay, so that was done. So there was nothing to cover the situation that Puerto Rico was, and actually it's coming to light that the United States Virgin Islands are also coming to a situation which is very similar to the one in Puerto Rico, where they just can't pay the bills anymore. They can't pay the debts. You got a combination of economic stagnation that's been going on for now. It's been over a decade. Combined with a tax base that is being eroded because the economic stagnation is leading to mass exodus. Okay, so you've got taxes that keep rising in order to try to cover this debt, which keeps falling on a smaller tax base, and it's just the worst scenario ever. So after months of there was a new governor handed from that just took over the government in January. He was handed a basket case by the old governor, who was a complete incompetent buffoon. Basically, he managed to fuck everything up that guy could, then said that he turned it over. Oh, the island's still solvent. Listen, there was no money in the fucking banks. It was all gone. The way that he made it that they were solvent was like by paying suppliers like 270 days in arrears, by not paying tax refunds on time, by not paying a whole bunch of shit on time. So it wasn't that there was he made appear money by basically stopping paying people and stopping paying the bondholders. So this law, when it was enacted, provided a stay from lawsuits to the government of Puerto Rico from bondholders that weren't getting paid. And that stay expired this week. The new government, which only had a very short time to get into this, created a new fiscal plan, budgeted a certain amount for debt payments, but that amount was basically showed that bondholders would have to take a haircut of about 60 to 70%. More not very happy with that cut, but most of them had bought already the bonds at a discount. Most of the guys that are holding the bonds right now were people that bought them in distress from people that were selling, so they would be making money anyway at that point, or at least breaking even, because they already took the loss. So you've got that situation. They've been negotiating with them for the last couple of months. They have not been able to come even close to an agreement because of how far apart they are. So the only real choice they had was, meaning because the stay of lawsuits was being lifted, was to file make the bankruptcy filing. So there it is, the largest municipal bankruptcy, municipal state bankruptcy filing in the history of the United States. The total debts right now, that because they didn't put every agency and everything under bankruptcy. Puerto Rico has not just they put the general government. But they didn't put like the companies that are owned by the government, such as the Power Authority, Aqueduct and Sewer, Ports Authority. Some of those they didn't put those. But I think eventually they'll stuff all of them into bankruptcy. If you add the debt plus the pension obligations, we're talking about over $100 billion in debt. And it is going to be probably one of the most complex litigations in the history of American bankruptcy court. It was kind of funny that the experts that were calling in the other day, one of them happened to be a judge that presided over the bankruptcy of my family's company that I filed for like 20, 30 years ago. And they're calling a whole bunch of people that I know about this. And I was just like, oh, God, really? He's the judge that called it. I'm like, so I know a whole bunch of these characters right now. I did talk to one of the attorneys representing one of the key instrumentalities that issued bonds in Puerto Rico, okay, about a week or two ago. And he had already told me that, man, we're so far apart in negotiations. I mean, we're dealing with hedge funds in New York. They want like 60, 70 cents on the dollar. We've got on the table 30 cents on the dollar. You know, and actually they wanted like 80, 90 cents, and we've got 30 cents on the dollar. There is just no shot at really coming with a deal. The only hope Puerto Rico has is if they go to bankruptcy court and the bankruptcy court imposes this shit, because these guys really, really want to score a real like grand slam home run in like a recovery. And there's just not enough money for that. So, so that's it, basically, in a nutshell right now. Right now, the process starts. Apparently, John Roberts, the Justice Supreme Court, is assigned to – he has to pick the judge in bankruptcy that has to oversee it. So it's right now at his desk, this application for him to select what judge is going to oversee the bankruptcy like right now. They're waiting for him to make that decision at this point. And then the fun shall begin.
That sounds very exciting, Ivan.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing I had on my list was this, this is a couple weeks old, and there have actually been a few incidents, but Facebook just announced this week that they're hiring 3,000 more people to basically monitor Facebook Live video when there are reports that something wrong is there, so they can be faster at pulling it down when people get murdered live on camera.
I guess it's probably not just pulling it down, but also I'm guessing contacting authorities or getting some action done, I guess.
I would presume maybe something, but I most of the conversation I've heard, though, has simply been about identifying and pulling these things down. But I guess hopefully, if they caught it while something was still going on, they'd have some mechanism of notifying somebody and, of course, retaining the stuff as evidence and all of that kind of stuff. But, it's just, I think it's an absolute inevitability of the technology that we're seeing all sorts of crimes and violent acts, streamed live.
Wasn't there a movie, Natural Born Killers.
I remember that movie. Yes.
Yeah. You remember that those guys were broadcasting all their crimes as they're going around or doing this spree and where they're doing that? I mean, it's kind of like, Yeah, I mean, you know, now all of a sudden you have the ability to scream your crime live. And apparently, you know, some people are doing that. I mean, I guess who was that guy that murdered somebody a couple of weeks ago that
yep.
They went and I guess he went and he committed suicide when he knew that they were going to catch him. But it's like, I mean, you're like, my God, you know, but,
you know, he started streaming live and he went up to some person on the street and talked to him for a minute and killed him. I mean, and there have been a number of suicides that have been live streamed as well. And it's just, you know, like I said, I think it's inevitable with the technology. There's and it makes sense that they're going to hire a bunch of people to help deal with this in one way or another, because, you know, this isn't somewhere where the automation is good enough yet to be like, you know, I can see like Clippy popping up on the screen saying, I see you're about to live stream a murder. Would you really like to do that? You know,
and you've chosen Clippy as the spokesperson for this.
Well, of course. Who else?
You know, I would like Clippy back. I know a lot of people hated that. I actually liked it.
It was kind of cute.
It was!
You know, but not really useful, but it was kind of cute.
Cute! I want Clippy back. I'm sending a note to Microsoft.
So, I don't know. Anything to say about these live things? I think I don't know that there's really anything much to do about it. I mean, you can look at it on one hand, it's going to give more evidence to, like, deal with it after the fact. But I don't know. I don't particularly want to see these.
You don't. Yeah, I guess live murders is not up your alley.
No. I would rather avoid that.
I can see how that could be a disturbing. Yes. Okay. So yeah, I am not pro live murdering videos.
You're not? How nope. Boring, Yvonne.
I know.
Okay. Do you have one? Your turn. If not, I'll move on.
What about the whole Hillary thing? Hillary Comey, and we're rehashing the rehash of the rehash of the thing.
Look, here's the fundamental thing on this. First of all, you know, Hillary said, I take full responsibility, but, and then she started talking about Comey and how if the election had been a week earlier, she would have won and blah, blah, blah.
She's right.
Yes, she is absolutely right. However, it's really unseemly to, you know, look, there's all kinds of things that were under her control that she could have done better. And yes,
there are
these other factors too. And like, the way I look at it is she is absolutely right, but leave it to other people to blame other folks.
If you are the principal. She's not running for anything right now.
No, I know she's not, but you know, look, if one of her problems throughout the whole fucking campaign is she wouldn't fully take responsibility for the things that she'd done wrong. I mean, she tried to on the email, but she did a half-assed job every time she brought it up. And like here, like she can't, you know, look, the right answer to this is, look, there are some external factors that definitely hurt me. I'll let other people talk about those. Here are the things that we did wrong that we could have done better. And here's what I did wrong. And if you take that kind of approach, it comes off fairly positive. If you instead take the, you know, well, we were going to win if it wasn't for that asshole.
Again? Is she running again?
Maybe.
No, you know she's not. So, but let's be clear.
Yes.
Okay. That is not an incorrect argument regardless. She could have said it in a different way. But the truth is, it's still true.
Well, yes. The thing is, she is not in a position to be the impartial analyst.
Correct.
Yeah, there are other people who can do that.
There's a lot of people that have made that argument.
Okay? Yeah. Right. I mean, but if she is doing the talking, she just comes off as a sore loser.
Defensive, sore loser, yeah.
Yeah, if all she does is say, I would have won if it wasn't for that Comey asshole, then, okay, you just
Actually, you know, Patty.
Even if it's true, which it probably is.
Actually, I would have probably liked it if she just flat out just said that.
I would have won if it wasn't for that Comey asshole.
Yeah, that's it. Just leave the answer at that. That's it.
You know, and of course, the next day, Comey defended himself. And it's all the same things we've heard. And it's what I was saying from the beginning as well.
At the same time saying, well, I felt a little bit nauseous, think that maybe it affected the election. I'm like, listen, let me take you out and beat the shit out of you. Yes, you did, you idiot. And you know what? You knew you were. This is why, you know.
But as I've said all along, since the very week this happened, I have a lot of sympathy for him. The case he lays out for why he did what he did in the Hillary case and why he didn't in the Trump case actually makes sense.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. I have no sympathy for him for one reason, because the main reason that I believe that people like Comey act like they did is out of fear, okay, and not out of really what they thought was correct. He was just scared about what people would say if he did what probably was the right thing, and he didn't want the blowback. So he went and he did the chicken shit thing, because waiting until you found out was in that laptop was probably took some intestinal fortitude to do. Okay. But instead of that, he took the chicken shit route out.
Well, and there've been continued reports that, like, you know, there were a lot of people within the FBI saying if he didn't do this, they would just leak it anyway. So it was a no-win scenario.
So he could have replied, listen, you're going to leak this and I'm going to have to fucking, like, prosecute you for a leak. And how about the fact, motherfucker, that, you know what, then I gotta reveal what the hell we've been investigating on the other fucking candidate through this entire year. Why the hell we have to get a FISA warrant on Carter Page? Why the hell did we know about all this other shit that we've been investigating?
Right.
I mean, it was just and he knew about all this shit.
Right.
I mean, Hillary's standing up there talking about Russian interference in the fucking election, and he's sitting over there.
Right. Okay. Next up, we never talked about the results in the Georgia special election, which was that it was really, it basically came out exactly as expected, which was that the Democrat came out ahead, but not quite enough to get to 50%. So we're going to have a runoff. And in the runoff, it's also going to be very, very close, because if you take all the Republicans, because the Republicans were an incredibly divided field, there was, like, I don't know, a million of them. If you take all of them and combine their votes, it's neck and neck again. But folks seem to think the Republicans have a little bit of an advantage in this second round. But again, it's going to be super close. And what I've kept saying is on these, you know, because I've heard a lot of arguments of, like, hey, you know, the Democrats are celebrating, but they still lost. Well, yes, because what we're seeing in these is that even when the Democrats lose, and they've lost every one of these special elections so far, they've been significantly closer than one would have expected from the history of that district.
Those were safe Republican seats.
So what you're seeing is a shift towards the D's. So the thing to measure is not does the Democrat win? Because it's not like a couple of special elections here and there are going to flip the House anyway. The thing to look for is what is the movement between the results in the 2016 elections and these new special elections. And if you translate that kind of movement and say, okay, what if we have this kind of movement in a whole bunch of districts in 2018? What does that do to the House? And so what you should be looking at these is not does the Democrat win? It's how much movement is there? And can you generalize anything about that to the next election? Now, the answer to that seems to actually be generalize at your own peril. Special elections are not very predictive of the next general election. You know, so you might see something here or there. There might be a trend that you can do, but it's not something to hang your hat on.
There's a trend to look at.
There's a lot of local effects. There's a lot of differences. Like,
agreed, but there is a trend to look at here. I mean, that's all that I think is the main takeaway from this. And, you know, I know that historically maybe special elections haven't meant that much, but when you're looking at an election, we had the results that we had with the things that have been going on. I think that these are indicators, and look, the indicators aren't good for the Republicans, like right now in seats that are at risk. I mean, and these were places that they had won blowouts, and they're struggling to, you know, retain the seats. And there's a lot more seats at risk. I think I saw the number today that there's like about 40 Republican seats that are really at risk in the midterms. I mean, that's a big number. I mean, you don't need that many to swing the House.
And we really didn't get to the implications of the healthcare vote for 2018. But that's also something where, you know, you hear mixed signals. Like, the Republicans seem to be saying this is good for us because if we hadn't done this, our base would have killed us and we would have lost in the primaries.
This is ridiculous.
The Democrats are jumping up and down all excited that the Republicans did this because they think this gives them a slam dunk win against.
I totally agree. And I think that they're right. I think you said today that there was some people singing in the House floor, and then it turned out apparently that it was the
Democrats. Democrats,
what were they singing?
That hey, 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 goodbye, like, baseball song.
Yes. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey. No?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to join in. But you can do it.
Hey, 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 goodbye.
Yeah, there you go. No, apparently they were singing that right after the vote. Because the Democrats are absolutely convinced that the Republicans essentially just signed away their majority in the House.
If you look at it based on the turn that they passed, this thing is so much worse than whatever the hell was passed with Obamacare that I don't see how you could draw any other conclusion.
You know, honestly, though, I think it all depends. Like, I think you
talk to swing districts.
It's swing districts. But I think the negative effect of it is actually going to be significantly muted if they don't actually manage to get something signed by the president.
I think they look like morons regardless at this point. Okay. I think the fact that you can use it against them just like, hey, they didn't get the president to sign it, but look what they tried to do to your healthcare. Oh, they didn't. Oh, so what about these marketplace not working? Well, instead of fixing that, this is what they tried to do. They tried to make it worse. Because this is the worst crime about this thing. They keep talking about all the things that aren't working with Obamacare. This bill fixed nothing of that. Mm-hmm. Not one damn thing. Nothing.
Okay. Next up. Your turn.
Oh, my turn.
Your turn.
President Trump is going on a foreign trip?
Yeah, he is. He's seeing the Pope, isn't he? And some other stuff?
Yeah, I heard that. He's going to go see the Pope? Why?
Because he wants to? I don't know. He probably doesn't actually want to. He probably wants to stay home. He's not a big fan of these kind of trips, but...
Well, here's one thing. I mean, it'll be interesting for him to meet the Pope. I think the Pope, you know, given who the current Pope is, and being that he's a little bit outspoken, you may get a piece of his mind.
Maybe. But he's also going to the Middle East. I think Saudi Arabia and Israel. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it can't hurt. but you never know with this man.
Oh, God. I'm, like, scared of this. I gotta be honest with you now that I'm thinking about it more.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect it'll be a big non-event for the most part, actually.
Listen, he has an ability to take turn non-events into shit.
That's true. But, like, if you think back, like, during the campaign, when he made that little trip to visit the Mexican president, you know, he was on his best behavior.
Well, that's true. He looked like he was on drugs or something or what. Well, wait a minute. No. Remember that it came out afterwards. That's right. When he was there, it did. But afterwards, we found out that the meeting was a fucking shit show. And then the entire shit show of the argument about what was said at the meeting.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was on his best behavior in public while there. But then as soon as he got back, he let everything out that he was holding in. And as you said, the meeting itself. Before he left,
the president of Mexico was tweeting already to say, oh, we told that guy to go screw himself. And then he landed, and then he was all pissed off that they said this, and then started basically retaliating for that. So, yes, this could be an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, come on, Yvonne. It's just the Middle East. It can't cause trouble there.
Yes, of course it's just the Middle East. What the hell? And the Vatican. What the hell? Maybe piss off a billion Catholics.
Okay. My turn. O'Reilly. We never talked about O'Reilly being out.
We didn't.
No. I think we mentioned
just O'Reilly, but there's another executive also that got let go at Fox News over this whole harassment scandal. And as more tidbits come out of apparently what's this, you know, they should call it the sexual harassment network, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there seems to, yes, O'Reilly himself did a bunch of bad things. Ailes did a bunch of bad things before him. But it seems like you keep hearing that that's just the tip of the iceberg, that basically this is just the culture there.
Well, look, are you surprised?
No.
I mean, honestly, they kept picking people, and it was very obvious to be reading the news just because they were blonde and had tits. For the most part, It seemed like. I mean, I'm like, you know, I saw Gretchen Carlson and all these people well respected. But the thing is that they seem to have a very, you know, look, they wouldn't pick somebody that was unattractive and was smart. That was very obvious.
Right.
Okay, that would never make
Boxing. And I saw one picture where they put there were interviews like a half hour apart or whatever at the same desk. And somebody tweeted this, the before and after shots, that when there was a man sitting at the desk, there was a front to the desk. When the woman sat down, they removed the front of the desk so you could see her legs.
Oh, for the love of God. Oh, come on.
Yep.
Oh, they're sick.
Oh, yeah, but
I like looking at a girl's legs just like anybody, you know, I will admit that. But that's just oh, my God, that just gave me a headache. Freaking people.
And that's on air stuff. That's not even like what's going on behind the scenes, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, story after story after story seems to be coming out of Fox of misbehavior of various sorts by all sorts of people, not just by the ones that have been most prominent so far. So, right. And Fox has been, you know, interestingly enough, Fox has seen their ratings suffer lately. And MSNBC has been like on fire.
Well, I mean, you lost, like, who was your ratings leader, like, in the evening, and you lost two of them. What am I talking about?
Well,
Bill.
It's the general effect that we've seen this before. You know, it's the people who are playing the opposition who are able to sort of galvanize viewers more or listeners on the radio. Like if you're fighting against the ones in power, it's very easy to get people mad and riled up and watching and blah, blah, blah. If you're kind of supporting the person who's in charge, then it's not as compelling.
Right.
And so that's why you saw like you know, going back to, you know, he's sort of on his decline now, but Rush Limbaugh was at his peak during the Clinton administration.
Right.
Once a Republican came in, it was like, eh, whatever, Rush, you know?
Right.
And I think that's part of the pattern you're seeing here. So you got, you know, Fox a little bit on the downside, where you got, you know, Rachel Maddow doing an hour a day of angry look at how stupid the administration is stuff, or how corrupt the administration is, or whatever, and people are flocking to her.
I must admit, I don't like watching any of these fucking people. No, they all give me a headache.
Well, you know, I don't have cable anymore. But I
you could watch it online if you wanted.
Yeah,
you
know? No, I sometimes listen to Rachel Maddow and Anderson Cooper as podcasts. But yeah, I don't know. But back to Fox. Like I think they're getting their just desserts. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot more to come, though. You know. So,
well, look, it was another senior executive. I can't remember his name or title, but I heard that one of the other senior executives at the damn place got let go. I mean, when you've got like the number one and number two executives let go at a freaking company, I mean, good God almighty. I mean, there's got to be a lot more serious shit coming.
Okay. You got one more, Yvonne?
I have one more. One more. Trying to think. I had one at the oh, God. See, what haven't we covered?
I'll ask you one while you're thinking about this. Is Zuckerberg running for president in 2020?
I don't think so.
He's all, like, going to Ohio and going to diners and all this kind of stuff and making all kinds of noises.
I don't know. It's just my instincts. I don't think so.
You know, I don't know if he will or not, but honestly, I hope he doesn't. That's not what we need.
No.
I mean, I know very little about his political opinions on jack shit, but, you know,
I don't want another frickin' billionaire.
Stick to messing up Facebook.
Or sort of billionaire like we have now, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I want, you know, after all of this we've had with Trump, can we please have some regular politicians?
I want a fucking politician. I want a fucking politician, damn it.
Give me somebody who's a governor or a senator.
Please. Yes, please. For the love of God, yes.
We've got plenty of governors. We've got plenty of senators in both parties that are decent.
Martin Blagojevich.
Kasich is going around, too. He's on a speaking circuit, and he sort of denies that he's thinking about anything for real yet. He's sort of cagey about it. But I think it would be, you know, I think one of the interesting questions we'll be discussing over the next couple of years is, does Trump get a primary challenge? And I think that depends a lot on...
Depends on how weak or strong he is when the election's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. He's got, you know... Until, you know, the unofficial kickoff of the 2020 election is the day after the 2018 election. So we'll see how he's doing at that point. And if he looks weak...
Well, I don't know. He's already campaigning for it now.
Yeah. And our favorite Joe Biden went to New Hampshire a couple times, but specifically said, hey, guys, I'm not running.
No, I know. I would. Yeah, but I know.
He's like, look, I'd be in a walker. I believe those were his exact words.
I don't doubt it.
You know? So, anyway. Did you think of your thing, or shall we wrap it up?
Gosh, did we cover everything regarding... We had the trip. We had the...
Plenty of other stuff on my list, if you want.
We had the... Okay, so the budget thing. That's the last one we could talk about.
Okay, budget, yes.
So they kicked the can down the road again.
To September.
Yeah.
And Trump made a bunch of noise about how, God damn it, next time he's going to shut down the government if that's what it takes.
You shut down for what? To get what? The wall?
The wall. And whatever else he wants it.
I thought maybe he could declare war on Mexico if he wanted the wall. Weren't they supposed to be paying for this fucking thing?
They will pay for this thing, Yvonne.
No. Okay.
They will pay for it.
And, well, I heard
and then you had Spicer like arguing about what a wall is. And does a fence count as a wall, and you know, all this kind of nonsense. You know, to me, the question is, do we get the picture of Trump down there with the little golden shovel breaking ground on something?
I thought we would. I thought that, well, I think I made we made a, I made
we
a
did.
Prediction.
That,
yeah,
I forget what my prediction was, but I still figured that regardless of whether or not he's actually doing anything meaningful, that sometime before the end of this year, you'll get that photo op.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So the anything, where's the debt limit? Because I know we kicked the budget down the road, but isn't there a debt limit deadline
apparently,
coming up soon?
Apparently
too?
Not.
Because I guess maybe did they kick that down the road too?
I thought they did the last time that they passed one. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. No coin this time.
No $1 trillion coin. Nope. Not
damn
yet.
It.
I know. You've been really gunning for that coin. I know. It would make your year.
Especially if they just gave it to me.
Yes. Well, I'd be flying to Seattle immediately. I'm going to the bank with you to cash that thing. I'm like, can I get just you know? Can I get here? I brought this suitcase. Can we fill this one up, please? Just one suitcase. It's fine. It's no problem. You can keep the rest. It's fine. Just fill that suitcase up.
If there's nothing else burning, you want to talk? Oh, I will just mention one thing, and it partially is undoubtedly why I'm like, okay, are we done yet? Are we done yet? I have now been awake, 40 hours.
Yay! Wow! You hadn't done that in a long time.
Because last night, you know, my son went to sleep at around 11 p.m. And so I'm like, great, I'll finally get to go to my computer and work on one of the little projects I've been working on. By the way, sometime in, the next week or so, I'll probably launch my new little secret project. We'll talk about it next week, maybe. But it is a little thing I've been working on, a few hours here and a few hours there. And I was like, great, my son's asleep. I can work on this for like an hour before I go to bed. But of course, I got on a roll. And so and when you start at 11 p.m. and you get on a roll, the next thing you do, you're looking up and saying it's 5 a.m. And oh, by the way, I have an 8 a.m. meeting and have to leave home at 6:30, so there's no fucking point in going to sleep now.
Right.
So
you'll never wake up again.
Yeah, exactly. So I went.
You will, but you'll be getting to the office unshowered and stuff.
Yeah. So yeah. So I went. I just went straight through. So yeah. At the moment, I have been awake approximately 40 hours, and I'm running on fumes.
All right. Let's.
But at the same time.
Yes.
On the screen in front of me, I have the project I was working on that I was also working on right before we started this show. And I'm like, I have to get to the next stopping point. I have to do some stuff. In fact, I'm so close to finishing. I can smell it. So, you know, can I go 48 hours? Can I go 50 hours? Can I go 60?
It's been a long time since you've done this, Sam. You know?
Do, do, do. Sam from the future here. After that little exchange, I did stay up a little while longer and work on that, but only like another hour or so. Then I crashed. But since I recorded the podcast before I'm putting this out, I did actually finish my secret project. I'll be officially posting about it on my personal website and Facebook and Twitter probably about an hour after I release this episode to the public. So you can probably go see that post announcing the new thing on abelsmay.com right now if you go check it out. Or Yvonne and I will talk about it next week as well. And hell, you know, here's what it is in a nutshell. It's three new podcasts. By me. Well, sort of, not really. Because I don't have the time to do three new podcasts entirely. They're automated, completely automated podcasts, so that now that I've set them up, they just go. Check them out. wikioftheday.com. That's wikioftheday.com. And you can check them out, take a listen, maybe even subscribe. Very different from this podcast. They're just little, short little nuggets of information. Three different podcasts, each updated once a day. Anyway, you can check it out. And Yvonne and I will probably talk about it a little bit more next week. I think
actually you sounded pretty good. I gotta say, I've been impressed. You sound pretty good for going on that long. Well, I'm the only guy that gets to do that on the show.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for joining us yet again for Curmudgeon's Corner. All the usual. Go to Facebook, comment on the show, like us, share with your friends. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook, of course. If you want to throw us a couple bucks, go to patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. We appreciate all the help on those lines as well. Good stuff. Good stuff. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And you too can suggest a topic. We had the Puerto Rican topic because somebody emailed me over the course of the week. It was my mom. But hey, my mom wanted to hear Yvonne talk about Puerto Rico and the
bankruptcy. Any feedback, by the way?
That was it this week. Oh no, wait, okay. we did, but yeah, we went back and forth with somebody on Facebook. I don't even remember what it was about this time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was complaining about the noise because your chair was squeaky.
Well, I was in a squeaky chair this week. I'm not in a squeaky chair.
Chair was squeaky and there was background noise and stuff like that, but not this week. So got it all clean.
Yeah, I was on a very squeaky chair. I am no longer on the squeaky chair like right now. So problem resolved.
I think we're done, Yvonne.
Yep.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week. See you next time. Goodbye. Bye-bye.